Am I audible, Sagar?
Yes.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Q2 FY26 earnings call of Sartak Metals Limited. I am Muthu Kumar, representing Wisdom IR. It is my pleasure to introduce a key member of the company's leadership team, Mr. Sagar Shah, Vice President and a valued member of the promoter group. Before we proceed, please note that this call is being recorded. The audiovisual recording will be made available on the company's website shortly, and a full transcript of today's discussion will also be published thereafter. For the duration of the presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. Once the management has concluded their remarks, we will open the floor for a Q&A session. A brief note of caution. Some statements made today may be forward-looking in nature and subject to risk and uncertainties. Actual results could differ materially from those expressed or implied. With that, I now hand over the proceedings to Mr. Sagar Shah of Sartak Metals Limited. Over to you, Mr. Sagar.
Yeah, thank you, Muthu. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all our investors, partners, and well-wishers. Thank you for joining us today as we review our performance for the second quarter of FY26 and, more importantly, discuss the path we are charting for the future of Sartak Metals. My name is Sagar Shah and I represent the second generation of promoters steering this company forward. 2 years ago, in a similar forum, I spoke about transformation. I outlined our conscious strategic decision to diversify beyond our core to build a business that is not just strong, but also resilient and future ready. Today, I am here to report on our progress on that journey. The results are tangible. Our vision is taking shape, and while the external environment remains challenging, our internal transformation is providing us with the stability and the optimism we had envisioned. Let's begin with the broader landscape. The Indian steel industry today presents a paradox. On one hand, the demand fundamentals are incredibly strong. Infrastructure projects, from highways to bridges, from airports to new ports, are being launched at an unprecedented pace. The government's continued focus on Make in India and national infrastructure pipelines is creating a resilient economic bedrock, driving steel consumption. However, this robust domestic demand is being met with a significant challenge, a surge of low-cost imports. As you must have seen in recent news, global steel prices, especially from certain Asian nations, are near a 5-year low. With slowing growth in other parts of the world, India has become a target market for these exports. This is putting immense pressure on domestic manufacturers, squeezing their margins and casting a shadow of uncertainty over future capital expenditure for the entire sector. The government's role has never been more critical. We are hopeful and optimistic that decisive action on import duties, stringent quality controls, and supportive policies will soon level the playing field. The long-term growth story of Indian steel, targeting 500 million tons by 2047, remains intact, but the short-term requires navigation and resilience. Our core business, the traditional cold wire business, Q2 volumes declined by 14% year-on-year. While this may seem poor, it's important to view this in context. In a market facing intense price pressure, holding our ground is a testament to our technological strength and the deep trust we have built over decades. You will also recall our strategic and difficult decision to temporarily step back from the aluminium flipping coil segment. I am pleased to report that this discipline has been the right call. The quarter remained subdued due to persistent, varied, unethical competition. By consciously staying out, we have protected our profitability. We are watching the market closely and are prepared to resume full capacity operations the moment conditions stabilize and become rational. Now, let me turn to the most exciting part of our story, the new growth engines we have been building. Our welding division has become a star performer. We have sustained a strong momentum, achieving average monthly volumes of more than 100 tons in the September quarter. An aggressive push through our dealer network, coupled with robust demand from fabrication and construction industry, has driven this success. A key milestone we are proud of is the BIS and RDSO approval for our products. For those in the know, this is the gold standard for quality in the railway sector. These approvals are not just a certificate, it is a powerful endorsement that reinforces market confidence and opens up significant new avenues for growth. Our dealer network today has grown to more than 10 dealers spread across more than 5 states, with dealers showing immense confidence with repeated orders. Another big story, the one that represents our strategic leap, is our foray into biotechnology. This initiative is no longer just a plan on paper. It is actively gaining traction. We are currently in advanced discussions with leading ethanol distilleries to integrate our technology solutions. The market opportunity is huge and relatively new, as massive capex in the industry is just going live. For context, the bioconsumables required in the industry holds a value of approximately 1 rupee per liter of ethanol produced. There was a recent tender by OMCs for 1050 crore, that is 1050 crore liters, which went overbid due to overcapacity in the industry, which leaves us with a market size of more than 1,000 crores. Why is this so timely? The government's aggressive fuel blending program and the strong policy push for biofuels have created a massive opportunity to position ourselves not just as a supplier, but as a technology partner in this green revolution. So what does all this mean? Our long-term vision, which we articulated 2 years ago, was to evolve from a single sector player into a diversified company. Today, that vision is our operating reality. We have 3 strong pillars. 1, our core business, which is of cord wires and aluminum wires. 2, the welding consumables, our high growth, quality driven engine. And 3, the biotechnology division, our high margin, future facing frontier. This diversified portfolio is our shield against cyclicity. While our core business is tied to investment-led economic cycles, our new ventures like biotechnology are linked to consumption-driven trends. By leveraging both aspects of the Indian economy, we have strategically de-risked our business model. Our financial strategy remains one of the most disciplined prudence. As we shared last year, our balance sheet is strong and we are virtually debt-free. This gives us the financial firepower and the flexibility to invest in these new growth areas without straining our resources. We are funding our future from a position of strength. Looking ahead, we cannot ignore the global shift towards sustainability. Regulations like the EU's carbon border adjustment mechanism are no longer distant concepts. They are imminent realities. The Indian steel industry must adapt and it must go green. We at Sarthak Metals are committed to being part of this solution. Our use of recycled aluminium scrap and our 400 kilowatt solar power plant are early steps. As we grow our commitment to integrating sustainable and green practices across all our divisions, old and new, will only deepen. In conclusion, the story of Sarthak Metals in quarter 2 FY26 is not defined by the challenges of the steel sector, but by our proactive response to them. We are controlling what we can control: our product quality, our strategic direction, our financial discipline, and our commitment to innovate. We are optimistic not because the external winds are always favorable, but because we have built a stronger, more versatile ship. We are no longer at the mercy of a single tide. We are navigating multiple currents, and we are confidently sailing towards a future of sustainable growth and long-term value creation for all our stakeholders. Thank you for your continued trust and support. I'm now happy to answer any questions you may have. But you can open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you, Sagar. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. We will now begin with our question and answer session. Now, for those participants who wish to ask a question directly, please use the raise hand functionality. Once you are unmuted, introduce yourself and directly ask the question to the management. Our request is to restrict it to two questions, after which you could join the queue and give opportunity for others to ask. Additionally, you can also post your questions directly on the chat box. With this, we now open the floor for a Q&A session.
I can see a couple of questions by Vikas Kumar.
Yeah, just one second. Yeah. Yes.
Can you read them to me?
Yes, yes, yes. Just one second. I'm audible now? I'm audible.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Oh, the first question from Vikas Kumar is CapEx in the steel sector happening as scheduled? Is steel price drop delaying orders for Sartec Metals?
Okay, yeah. So the steel sector had seen massive CapEx cycles, and honestly, it has slowed down. The big steel plants like JSPL, JSW, all of their CapEx plans are ongoing, still ongoing, but the urge to finish them as soon as possible, I can't see them. I can't see that urge to finish it as soon as possible. So that's one red flag. And the second part of the question was, is steel price drop delaying orders for Sartec Metals? Definitely, since the steel prices are at a five-year low, the demand for steel and the manufacture and the urge to manufacture as much as they want to is not happening, and which is why the demand for our product is also subdued.
Okay. There's a question from Aman Bakshi, which is about the welding business. He says, the growth in the welding business is impressive. Are you being conservative with the rupees 25 crore sales plan in the next 2 years?
So 25 crore revenue in 2 years, by this growth trajectory that we've seen in the last 1 year, we're very confident of achieving that sales figure. Apart from that, this market again is a little cyclical. Demand is robust as of now. The order books at the fabrication houses and construction houses are filled. So we are very optimistic. And once we establish our brand in the market, we will see another surge of requirement of our product. So we can raise our target in the near future.
Okay. So one more follow-up question from Aman is, what is the EBITDA you expect at that level of sales? Probably talking about the 25 crore.
Gold. So
Also,
EBITDA in this current splurge of sales and us being aggressive to push our material in the environment and to establish our brand, the EBITDA margins are a little low, but once we are able to establish our brand in the market, once we are able to prove our quality in the market, we will be able to improve our EBITDA margins. And once we reach a sale figure of around 25 crore or plus, I feel that we'll be an established player by then, and we could see an increase in our EBITDA margins, approximately high single digit or low double digit margins. Yes. 9 to 10%.
9 to 10%. Okay. So what is another part of the second question was also, how many SKUs are you currently selling currently in this business? Would you be launching some more in the next 12 to 24 months?
Definitely. We are currently working in approximately five SKUs currently, and we have a plan to take it up to 10.
Okay. So there is one more question from Vikas
जी
Kumar. His question is on the biotech. When will biotech revenue start?
it should start very soon. In fact, we've been having very lucrative meetings in a lot of distillery companies, and we're seeing a lot of positive response from there. So the revenue should start very soon, and we'll keep our investors informed about it.
Okay, so a couple of questions I'm taking from the email that has come up.
Sure.
So this is on regarding to the cord wire business. So Q2 volumes in the cord wire segment declined 14% year on year after a steady growth trend earlier. What drove this reversal?
I would give majorly the contribution will go to a muted quarter because of the monsoon, and also some part of it due to intensified competition. The competition is really gotten intense here, and there are some bad practices that we are dealing with currently. So that's the case why our volumes declined a bit.
Okay, so what's your strategy to regain market share or strengthen customer stickiness, particularly among large steel clients?
Our strategy is re really simple. The orders that we have in our hand, we try to execute them in a very ethical manner, in a very professional approach, with a service-oriented approach, to have that trust regained with our customer, that which proves us being a stable player in this industry since the past 2 decades. So it is not our job to well educate our customers what's happening in the industry, but as and when they do get educated, they tend to come back to these stable players. So we're seeing a positive silver lining here.
Okay. So there's one more question. Just one second. So the welding business, so can you just give us a little bit detail about the welding business? So what percentage of welding revenues now come from the institutional clients versus dealer-led retail?
It is majorly from dealers. I would say we're selling directly to institutes might be only 10%. 90% comes from dealers. And that is the approach that should be, because if we want to establish ourselves as a brand in the industry, dealers are the way to go through.
Okay. So now for those participants who wish to ask a question directly, please use the raise hand functionality. Once you're unmuted, introduce yourself and directly ask the question to the management. Additionally, you can also post your questions directly on the chat box.
Aman Bakshi has a follow-up question on the chat box, I think.
Just one, yeah. Yes. What kind of EBITDA profile one can expect in FY28? Is it possible all the three businesses contribute at least 25% towards total EBITDA in FY28? Should I repeat?
No. A foresight of FY28 will be a little difficult to calibrate, but once biotech revenues start, biotech should see healthy double-digit margins. Then our welding division should also, once our brand established, and by 28, of course, we're aiming to establish our brand, that should also be a comfortable double-digit margin. I wouldn't say 25%, but 10 to 15 is highly possible.
Okay, so there's one more question, that last question from the email is on the biotech. Is Sarthak considering external partnerships, grants or government incentives under India's biofuel mission?
I wouldn't look at grants or government incentives as of now, because our sole approach is to establish that pillar in our company as a business model. So external partnerships, definitely. Sarthak is actively looking at established players in that industry and who we can partner with to share technologies.
Okay. So we'll wait for another 2 minutes for investors to ask any questions.
Sure.
As we are approaching the end of the session. Repeating once more, so those participants who wants to ask a question, you can use the raise hand functionality. Once you're unmuted, introduce yourself and directly ask the question to the management, or you can directly post your questions on the chat box. Since there are no questions, further questions, I would like to hand over to Sagar for the concluding address to the investors today.
Okay, thank you for the continued trust in the company. The journey ahead looks bumpy but very exciting. We have rightfully established two more pillars to the company as we had envisioned back in 2023. It's looking like a huge opportunity. Everything in India currently looks like an opportunity if you work rightly towards it. That's it. I'm always accessible. Reach out if you have any questions. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thank you, Sagar. Have a very good evening. Thank you.
Bye.